Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 43 to 44. I'm just going to read the first verse, though. Raga dveshas chalobascha. Shoka moha bhayam vadaha. Mano vamanos suyacha. Maya himsa cha matsuraha. Raga, attachment. Dvesha, hostility. Cha, also. Loba, greed. Cha, also. Shoka, lamentation. Moha, illusion. Bhayam, fear. Madaha, madness. Manaha, false prestige. Avamana, insult. Asuya, finding fault with others. Cha, also. Maya, deception. Himsa, envy. Cha, also. Matsarha, intolerance. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the conditioned stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All these are enemies. Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. Seems like we have enough enemies there. Can't remember who they are. Purport. The actual aim of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. But there are many hindrances created by the three modes of material nature, sometimes by a combination of rajagun and tamagun, the modes of passion and ignorance, and sometimes by the mode of goodness. In the material world, even if one is a philanthropist, a nationalist, and a good man, according to the materialistic estimations, these conceptions of life form a hindrance to spiritual advancement. How much more of a hindrance are hostility, greed, illusion, lamentation, and too much attachment to material enjoyment? To progress towards the target of Vishnu, which is our real self-interest, one must become very powerful in conquering these various hindrances or enemies. In other words, one should not be attached to being a good man or a bad man in this material world. In the material world, so-called goodness and badness are the same because they consist of the three modes of material nature. One must transcend this material nature. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies consist of three modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna advises Arjuna, Triguna Vishaya Veda, Nice Triguna Bhavarjuna, Nidvanva Nitya Satvisto, Niyoga Shema Atmavan. The Vedas consist of the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them, be established in the self. Bhagavad Gita 2:45. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Orvam gachati sattvasta. If one becomes a very good person, in other words, if one is in the mode of goodness, he may be elevated to the higher planetary systems. Similarly, if one is infected by rajagun and tamagun, he may remain in this world. or go down to the animal kingdom. But all of these situations are hindrances on the path of spiritual salvation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmande Brahmate Kon Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. If one is fortunate enough to transcend all this so-called goodness and badness and come to the platform of devotional service by the mercy of Krishna and the Guru, his life becomes successful. In this regard, one must be very bold so he can conquer these enemies of Krishna consciousness. Not caring for the good and bad of this material world, one must boldly propagate Krishna consciousness. Oh, read the text again. In the conditioned stage, one's conception of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All these are enemies sometimes one's Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Satarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Udarad Atmanatmanam Atmanam Abhisarayat Atmaiva Yatmano Bandur Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha Bandoratmatmanas tasya, yena ivatmatmana jita, anatmanas tu shatrudve, vartetat maiva shatrudva, jitatmana prasantasya, paramatmas mahita, shitoshna sukuduke tatamana pamanayo. A man has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For one who has conquered the mind, a man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. What's the translation for the other one? No, that's the last verse. There's two verses in a row which are almost identical. Beginning with Udarada Atmana. One must deliver himself with the help of mind and not degrade himself. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul as enemy as well. For one who has conquered the mind, his mind is the best of friends. And for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will become the greatest enemy. When one has conquered the mind, the super soul is very rich. For he has attained tranquility. To such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the material, it is stressed that herein the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nations. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego. Anyone have experience of their mind being involved with their false ego? What's that?
All the time.
All the time. Anyone have experience of the mind not being involved in the false ego? And what is the false ego? It desires the Lord over material nature. So, the mind isn't living in the soul, the pure soul is entangled in the material world. Because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires the Lord over the material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature, and in this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. Simple, very simple. Just have to become attracted to Krishna rather than the material energy. And what, as Krishna, when Arjuna asked, well, Krishna told Arjuna, you have a duty to do. So if we absorb our minds in our duty, then gradually, of course, our duty is Yajnavai Vishnu, to sacrifice for Vishnu. For the material world, there can be a duty for the material body. In other words, even when we're absorbed in the false ego, we can do our duty according to our guna, with the idea that although we're identifying ourselves to greater or lesser extent with the material body, still we recognize that we should be servants of Krishna. So in the Varnashram Dharma, one has his duty as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or one may have a duty as a shudra, vaishya, kshatriya, or a brahmana. But daiva vanashram means the duty has to be done for Vishnu, for Krishna. Whether it be the deity worship in the temple, or the fire sacrifice, or the meditation, has to be aimed at Vishnu. And for a devotee, their duty is to always remember Krishna and never forget. An actual, advanced devotee. In other words, as Krishna says, yastva atmatya eva syat, atmatritas chamanava, atmaneva tushantushtas, tasya karam navidite. One who takes pleasure in the self, who's satisfied in the self, rejoices in the self only, for him only Arjuna, there's no duty. So if one can come to the platform of pure consciousness of Krishna, then there is no duty to do in the material world to please Krishna, except for just be Krishna conscious. But until we come to that platform, we have to have something to do with this body. He kaschit shenamapi jatu tishtati karmakrit karyate yavashat karma sava prakriti jagunai. That all living entities, they're forced to act helplessly. So we may think we're the doer and we're doing so many things, but actually we're being forced to do these things. Or we're voluntarily doing them to serve, to please Krishna, to serve Krishna under the direction of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. So when we're involved in serving Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, hopefully consciously, because this is a society to develop our consciousness, not just to put ourselves in here or put ourselves there, it's to put ourselves in the proper consciousness. The idea of coming to the program, for instance, is that we might hear about Krishna in the program. If we pay attention, we can come to the program and hear our minds talking to us for half an hour, 45 minutes, so many different things. Or we can come and we can actually hear the holy name, we can hear the philosophy, or something like that. We can do something to put our minds in Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, here it says it's the living entity is entangled because of his mind is attached to the false ego, which desires the Lord of the material nature, either in goodness or in passion or in ignorance. We may think, well, I'm just trying to Lord it all, to control the material nature and goodness, so that's, it's good. I'm a good person. I may not be Krishna conscious, I may not be absorbing my mind in thoughts of Krishna, but I'm a good person, so that's good enough. I just want to be a good person and enjoying goodness. Or someone else may think, well, all right, a little passion is good once in a while. Can't be good all the time. It's kind of boring being good. Throw in a little passion, ignorance once in a while. I mean, how many people actually think that hunger and sleep are their enemies rather than their dearmost friends? Oh, it's time to sleep. Oh, bliss. Oh, it's time to eat. Wow, ecstasy. They're not my enemies. They're my dearmost companions. This is what I live for. But here it says her enemies, along with illusion and envy, madness, and a whole variety of other things we absorb our minds in, criticism, fault finding. So one has to recognize that these are all attempts, or at least frustrations, dealing with trying to lord it over the material nature. Instead, one has to absorb the mind in hearing, beginning with hearing. Practice trying to learn how to hear. Krishna said, Yadagre, yattaragre vishamiva, parinami ritopamam, tatsukam satyukam proktam, atmabuddhi pasarajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison. So to control the mind at the beginning is bitter. It's just like poison. Because as soon as we start trying to control the mind, then we become acutely aware of how much poison there is in my mind. And to get rid of it, the material nature is not so favorable. In other words, to get rid of it, to become detached from it, we can't get rid of it. It's not we can, you know, oh, cut it out from my mind. Here it is. Ooh, it's painful, but we can't do it. We have to become detached from it. But we can't become detached from it because as soon as one thought leaves our mind, another thought will come. I don't need this lady anymore. And then another guy, oh, what about me? Oh, okay, not bad. Better choice. No, we have to become attached to something which is superior, and then we won't become attached to the inferior. And the only ultimate superior, because even when we come to goodness, it's still a material conceptions of life. And generally speaking, even those who act in goodness, life after life, eventually they fall into ignorance and passion again by bad association. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that we're supposed to do our duty. But Arjuna, as we know, asks Krishna, but why sometimes I don't do my duty? And Krishna says it's lust. And lust covers our consciousness, so we don't see things as they actually are. And it impels us to act in ways that we shouldn't be acting, although we're suffering. So then Prabhupada writes that, or Krishna says, Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchite aitaravimohatyesha gyanam avrityadehna. The senses, the mind, the intelligence, they're sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders it. So Prabhupada said, we have to find out where our enemy is, how it's situated. If you don't know where your enemy is, you can't conquer your enemy. Guerrilla warfare. So how does lust begin? It begins with hearing. When we hear about something about the material world, somehow or another it's going to cover us. Now we can hear about the material world, but if we see it in relation to Krishna, then it's not material anymore. Then it's spiritual. But just hearing from materialists, then our consciousness becomes covered, because the materialists, generally speaking, they're inspiring us to do something. They're motivating us to do something. And when we're motivated to do something in the material world, we're impelled by lust and ignorance. So when we hear about the glories of some activity or some object, then the mind becomes filled with lusty desires, and then the senses become agitated to fulfill those lusty desires. So then the soul has to make a choice, if it has a choice. If it knows something about Krishna consciousness, then it could become detached from these ideas. And if it's not Krishna conscious, then it'll simply choose from either ignorance, passion, or goodness, according to its conditioning. And therefore, as soon as the soul chooses the material energy, then it gets lusty intelligence. Lusty intelligence means we're chosen to gratify our senses and our mind, and therefore that decision means we've done it under the influence of lusty intelligence, perverted intelligence. That choice means we're choosing our lusty intelligence. And lusty intelligence influences the soul to acquire a false ego, by which it misidentifies itself with its mind and senses for sense gratification. So when our intelligence becomes lusty, then we choose to come under the influence of a false ego, and therefore we believe that if I gratify my senses and my mind, I'll become happy. Therefore, on the other hand, if one hears about the glories of Krishna and engages one's spiritual intelligence in using the mind and senses according to those instructions, then the result is that tesham satatam yuktanam bhajantam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenam amupyantite. That Krishna gives us more and more intelligence by which we can come to him, and eventually, as Krishna sees our sincerity, that we actually want to follow the process which is aimed at meditating on him, developing a relationship with him, then he reveals himself and we become ecstatic to some period, to some extent, and everything becomes clearer, clearer. At least we see things clearer, that actually I'm Krishna's servant. I may not know the relationship, but that's who I actually am. I'm in some kind of servant of Krishna. And if one has Krishna to some extent, to some degree, or to some period of time within one's mind, then one can see the difference, the happy result of becoming free from all these different varieties of suffering, envy, no delusion, madness, even sleeping in an excessive sleeping, excessive eating, or eating outside of Krishna consciousness, or dreaming about things other than Krishna. One can see that these are rather times and activities of suffering compared to Krishna consciousness, which is an activity of happiness and pleasure. So one has to see that differentiation and therefore choose, because that's our free will, choose Krishna consciousness over other varieties of material experience. If one can fortunately get the higher taste, Vishaya Vinivartante, Niraharasideyanam Rasavaridam Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate, that the embodied soul, he may be restricted from sense objects, though that taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So that higher taste is what we should be anxious for. Anxious to show to Krishna that we're willing to sacrifice for him. Although we want to do one thing, we'll do what Krishna wants us to do. Which sometimes is simple as, I want to do this, but I'll come to the program anyhow. And then Krishna appreciates that we've sacrificed for him. Of course, if we come to the program, we're thinking, I'm such a great devotee, I've come to the program, everyone else is a demon. That kind of meditation won't help us very much. Or we come to the program and we think, well, this is the most comfortable. The philosophy is so boring, it's the best place to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. That won't help us very much either. We have to capture some idea of how to get that higher taste, how to become eligible for the higher taste, so that we won't become attached to our present condition, past experience, which is always coming up and influencing us and encouraging us to fall into the illusory energy, just one mode of nature or the other. So if one is fortunate enough to get the higher taste and then develop on that higher taste, so that one not only in the program is trying to become Krishna conscious. But even during the day, if one has an engagement by which one can try to become Krishna conscious during the day, then one will make rapid progress. Because we come to the program once in a while, and we get a little fired up, and we think this is nice. As soon as we leave, then immediately we forget. And we're put back in the modes of nature we're conditioned by. Daksha, who was in ecstasy when Vishnu came, riding in the back of Garuda, after Daksha offered wonderful prayers to Lord Vishnu, and he was totally in ecstasy, he couldn't remain standing, feeling so much transcendental pleasure. But because had material desires, therefore when he asked for unlimited sex life, he was back in the modes of nature again. Even after feeling unlimited pleasure, he was back in material existence again. So Maya, Daivyesh Gunamayi, Mama Maya Duratya. We shouldn't take Maya so lightly. As soon as we forget Krishna, we're back in Maya. We may feel comfortable in our Maya. We may think, I'm in good Maya. We think, good Maya. I can't leave this Maya. It's so nice. Like the worm in stool won't leave the stool because it's warm, it's comfortable, it's free, there's plenty of the stool. His whole family is there. It's wonderful. But from the point of view of a person who's not a worm, it's not so wonderful. So from the point of view of Krishna, a person who's actually in Krishna consciousness, whatever maya we may be in is not as wonderful as we may imagine it to be. So one has to develop the higher taste and then one can understand what is maya and what is Krishna consciousness and then choose Krishna consciousness above maya more times and more consistently. And then one's life will become successful. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Avadhuta Roy, welcome.
Yes. Hare Krishna, you did not describe being a mode of goodness very positively, but Srila Prabhupada says we should be well situated in it. It is a stepping stone to transcendence. How should I understand this contradiction?
No, goodness is not so wonderful. If you think your goodness is wonderful, then you're in ignorance. But goodness is a necessary step, generally speaking, to come to transcendence. Just like if you want to take an airplane from here to Brussels, you have to go to the airport. Going to the airport alone won't help you get on the airplane. If your goal is to get on the airplane and fly to Brussels, going to the airport won't help you. But unless you go to the airport, you can't get on the airplane. So when you get to the airport, then you get on the airplane, then you're going to Brussels will become successful. Coming to goodness alone has no value unless you transcend goodness and come to pure goodness. Using goodness to engage in Krishna service, to transcend goodness, then your life's successful. Just becoming come to the mode of goodness won't help. Becoming a demigod to go to the high planetary systems in itself is still part of the conditioned life and material existence. Matter of fact, the demigods have a harder time performing their sadhana with intensity and sincerity than we have. Because goodness brings a certain amount of material happiness, which brings about complacency also. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, you've said that the first thing is to understand where we are going so that we can adopt the process seriously. But on lectures, we are devoting much more time to the process itself, like today's verse, and Bhagavatam itself is doing that than to the goal. So,
the process is the same. The goal is Krishna, and the process is to serve Krishna. And the goal is to serve Krishna. So the process and Krishna are the same thing. I'm the goal of life. What is it Krishna says? That may not be the verse, but it's close. That 13th chapter, this is not it, but anyhow, there's something that also, here is. Jyoti samapi taj jyoti tamasam paramuchate gyanam gayam ganam gamyam riddhi sarvasya vishtitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge. And he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So Krishna is absolute. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge. He is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So there's no difference. Anything else? Kuala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kidai.